Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, it's another Monday, so you know exactly what that means. It means that it's time to break down another loss by your Denver Broncos. I'm getting really, really tired of this. This hurts. It just hurts. It just sucks, man. This is not how I wanted to spend my Mondays, especially because we're not even getting the good news that Nathaniel Hackett has been fired as a head coach of the Denver Broncos. In fact, we're getting news of the opposite, which of course is not going to be making any one of us happy, at least like less than 1% of us happy. It really is a trend that I do not like to see. It's probably something that we're going to have to suffer through for the rest of the season. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to Mile High Report Horse Tracks Live. Of course, I'm your host, Ross. We are here at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time every single Monday. Sometimes we get the treat of being able to talk about how well the Broncos did, or maybe some positive for the Broncos game. But this week, we get to talk about why they lost to the Carolina Panthers. But like I said, thanks so much for tuning in. We will be here live next Monday as well, like I said. And we're going to be going through the game, some stupid things from Nathaniel Hackett, some more stuff about Russell Wilson, of course, the biggest issue on this team, one guy that got severely overlooked yet again in this game, and I'm going to talk about some of that George Payton stuff I've seen in the Instagram comments and stuff like that, it's challenging, of course, but I do have three reasons why we can still be positive as Denver Broncos fans. There's not too many out there, but there are some. I promise you there are reasons. But let's go ahead. Of course, I gave a little bit more of a game breakdown on the latest Horse Tracks podcast that went live on any podcasting site or platform you look at stuff on. That went live earlier this morning, so when you're done here, you can go ahead and listen to that podcast as well. Really appreciate you if you guys are listening live, or whether you're watching the replay of this on Twitch. I know hundreds of you guys did that last week. And then, of course, if you're listening to the podcast version of this that goes out in the afternoons every Monday, thank you so much as well, because you are still really, really awesome for that, and I just greatly appreciate any follows or subscriptions that you want to throw over at us for Twitch. But let's go ahead and get into this game because Sunday was another example of the Broncos trying to force Russell Wilson into a system that does not work for Russell Wilson. It's like you're trying to take, you know, would you try and be like taking Joe Montana and put him into an air raid style offense? That Niner team just didn't work like that. That West Coast offense wasn't exactly that. It's like taking Lamar Jackson and wanting him to be a pocket passer the whole time. It's like taking Tom Brady and wanting him to roll out every single time and be a mobile threat. It's just not how these things work. You can't go ahead and spend a bunch of draft capital on this guy, pay him a crap ton of money, and then expect him to conform to your system, a system different from the one that he's been in for 10 years of his playing career. That just doesn't happen. It's stupid to have those kind of expectations, and stupid to try to force Russell Wilson into an offense that he's not comfortable or successful in. But once again, that's what the Broncos did this week. Even with Clint Kubiak still calling plays, we saw a little bit of hope, a little bit of progress last week, and all of that went down the drain again this week when we saw a regression from the Broncos offense and just more disappointing, more of the same old. And it's almost just baffling at this point. It's way too many passes from the pocket with Russell Wilson. It was something like, especially out of shotgun, it was like 70% of his passes were out of shotgun and in the pocket. So that's not going to warrant success, if you want to put it that way. There's not enough movement for him. His success in Seattle came often from moving around, making stuff happen with his feet, rolling out of the pocket, maybe going back sometimes, and just being this guy that can just react on his feet and just be able to come up with these plays and on the fly. And it's almost like we saw a little bit of Russell Wilson calling the plays a couple weeks ago against Jacksonville as well in London. We saw him calling some of his own plays, and that's where we saw the most success of Broncos offense that we've seen all season. Actually scored 3 touchdowns. That seems just like an insane thing to do for this offense. It's almost impossible, borderline impossible, especially when the Broncos, to correct ourselves, Field Yates was wrong with his kind of stat with the Broncos. The Broncos do not have the worst offense since the year 2000. They have the 31st worst offense since the year 2000. Let me get that exact stat for you guys there. So between 2000 and 2021 seasons, the Cleveland Browns put up the fewest points by team in season with 161 points in 2000. So right now the Broncos, actually not 31st, so the 14.27 points for the Broncos puts them around 25th on the list. So Field Yates, please get it right. Just goes to show you that you cannot trust the pros. That was like not even close to being right, which was crazy to see. In his success and putting his athleticism to work is why he was successful in Seattle. Of course, this can be hindered by his hamstring injury that I'm sure he's still dealing with. Like every single Broncos player is dealing with a hamstring injury. Shout out to their fantastic strength and conditioning staff. They really do seem to be doing the job. And then his O-line is also a reason why this offense either can't be implemented or can't be used well or effectively or let Russell Wilson do Russell Wilson things, because it really just feels like Russell Wilson's running for his freaking life every single play that he has to pass the ball. And in fact, he was hit or sacked on 33% of his passing plays on Sunday against the Panthers, who don't even have an amazing pass rush. So 33%, that's freaking massive. Every 3 times Russell Wilson went to go to pass, he would either get hit or sacked. That is abysmal stats right there. He was sacked 3 times and he was hit 10 times. And he was forced to scramble. He only had 2 successful scrambles where he was able to avoid being sacked or wasn't forced to throw the ball away. He was forced to scramble on pretty much in what felt like every single play that we saw. He had 2 successful scrambles where he was able to pick up at least a couple yards. But besides that, he was getting hit, running for his life, and throwing incompletions. So it feels like Russell Wilson's, we talked about he had a few more deep completions than we've seen this season, which was nice to see. Cortland Sutton getting a couple of those, even with the depleted receiving core, we're still able to see that from him. But at the same time, it was just sucked. It just sucked. And a lot of this is like, we've been failing to see the Broncos offense and Russell Wilson be able to push the ball effectively down the field, you know, dicking 20, 25 yards on the pass play. A lot of that is due to Russell Wilson's torn lat, his torn hamstring, taking the power off of his passes. But it's also because he doesn't have any time. He has like 2 seconds to get the ball out. So that's why only the quick stuff is working for this Broncos team right now, because they can't do a single thing. They're not having enough time. It's just another reason why maybe we can give Russell Wilson more leeway. I know not of you guys like to not a lot of you guys like to hear that, but maybe give Russell Wilson a little bit more leeway, and maybe that's why Nathaniel Hackett is going to be coaching the Broncos until the end of the season. And speaking about Hackett, let's go ahead and talk about him, because it feels like Nathaniel Hackett's not even doing a single thing right now, especially, you know, being head coach. You think he had more responsibilities? No, but he's not calling plays anymore. He has a coach for game management, and he doesn't do anything for the defense, clearly, because we actually see success on that side of the football, and he did absolutely nothing during that Russell Wilson, Mike Purcell situation that we saw going on the sideline. Of course, if you saw the quotes from Russell Wilson and Mike Purcell, they downplayed it. This was all positive, nothing. It wasn't like a negative situation. It was more like them just trying to fire each other up, which is fine. And you can hear my take on that one in from this morning's Horse Tracks. But this happened literally right behind Nathaniel Hackett, and he didn't even turn around. In fact, he had a quote post game where he was asked about this, and he said, quote, "I didn't see it. I know that they're both competitors. I know that Mike wants to win, and he's going to do whatever he can to do to try and get the team fired up. I'm not sure, but we'll get to the bottom of it." Gosh, that's freaking horrible. They're right behind you, and you didn't see it. You didn't hear it. It sounds like you want nothing to do with it because you're scared of having to deal with an issue that requires a head coach, possibly. Now, they got lucky that both the players are apparently fine on this one, that they're not having issues with each other. I don't think the locker room's turned on Russell Wilson yet, but you have a coach that doesn't even know what the heck is going on. It feels like he's refusing to even acknowledge it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that he didn't know that was happening. The only problem is I could really see how he could be so oblivious to that, because he is just that bad of a head coach. And then also he had another horrible post-game interview. This was just a part of this horrible post-game interview. He was even asked about his job situation, and we got another perfect Nathaniel Hackett-esque quote. Go ahead and listen to this one here.
Throughout the season, how do you keep that, you know, now that most of the sort of tangible goals for the season, you know, especially as the fans of postseason are gone?
It's about accountability. Everybody's got to see what they can do themselves to be able to get better. It goes in all three phases. All three phases have to be better. That starts with me. I got to be better. The coach has got to be better. Players got to be better. And we just continually talk about growing, understanding where we're going to go, and what we can do.
Are you worried at all about your own status after a loss like this, given it's, 7 of 8 games you guys have dropped?
I mean, it's about the team. You know, I just want to find a way to win a football game. I mean, that's so important to me. These coaches, these players, they work so hard, and I just want to be there for them to be able to try to make it so we can be successful out of the field.
As you evaluate everything from this game, will play calling duties be another thing that you evaluate going into Baltimore?
I think we're always evaluating everything. We want to try to put ourselves in the best position possible. I think Clint has done a good job, and we got whoever's calling the plays, we got to find a way to get more yards and more points.
Yeah, that's all we need to hear from that one. I really want to know what that screaming was and going there. I mean, it's clear there are people there that are actually able to be happy from what transpired during that game. But there's just another example of Nathaniel Hackett just being super tone deaf, not knowing anything what to say when it comes to how to manage this team. Or I think, if anything, he just proves, here's my conspiracy theory. One of them is that, my one that I'll die on the hill on, is that the salary cap is not real. It's just a myth perpetuated by Big Goodell to push that the league is actually fair and even. Not buying it. Not buying that, Roger. But my other conspiracy is that Nathaniel Hackett is secretly a robot And what's been happening is that he was just a prototype robot. His in as a coach, he wasn't loaded with enough lines or script, so he's just saying the same things. That's exactly why he's saying the same things week after week after week. Talking about how it comes down to accountability. I gotta do my job. We gotta take a look at everything going on. What's another one? Third down is an issue. That's one that he always talks about. That's something we've continually talked about over and over again, is what he said. It's gosh, dude, it's freaking ridiculous. People are talking about how tone deaf Russell Wilson's tweets are on Twitter. I think that has nothing on Hackett's post-game press conferences, and even his press conferences during any time, not just post-game, just any of his press conferences. He says the same thing. I'm so confused. Do you think anything changes week after week? Because I don't. It's almost like Groundhog Day for Nathaniel Hackett every single week, and it's just so, so frustrating. The only problem about this is that Nathaniel Hackett, here's the title of the stream, Nathaniel Hackett is not going to be fired this offseason, or this season, unfortunately. We're not going to be able to get the good news until the offseason comes around, because I think there's a couple good reasons. One of the reasons is just because historically, first-year coaches are not fired during the season. That's just not something that happens. So historically the Broncos don't have that on their side. I don't think new management is, they should make a statement, and the new owners be like, hey, we're not going to let this fly. We want to change the culture, and they're going to make a move during the season. I don't think they're going to, but also another thing is that, like kind of what I talked about earlier, you are giving this quarterback $250 million before he even places down for you. You trade away two first round picks for him. You made all these moves for him. And you really like just committed to this guy, and he's not performing anywhere near the levels that you thought or hoped to see from him, or are expecting to see from him at that point. But you have a safety net. You have the blame game on your side. You can't just blame Nathaniel Hackett and this coaching staff and the injuries and all that kind of stuff. So you almost have Nathaniel Hackett's almost serving as a safety blanket for Russell Wilson, as the excuse of why Russell Wilson is bad this year. So that gives you a little bit more leeway and a little bit more time to see if Russell Wilson could do Russell Wilson things. In fact, this might even save George Payton a little bit. And this is just going to save face when it comes to Russell Wilson. At least they're doing their best, because if you go ahead and fire Hackett now, maybe promote a coach from the Broncos, maybe you throw Everell up to the head coach spot, or if you just bring in maybe someone from the outside of the organization as well. And we talked a couple weeks ago about Champ Bailey being the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. Wouldn't that be fun? But we talked about there is that, so the Broncos do that and Russell Wilson is still bad. That just means we can't blame Hackett anymore. That means all the blame is going to go to Russell Wilson. That's going to make the franchise in the, front staff, for office staff just look that much worse, because the move for Russell Wilson is clearly not coming close to paying off in any level that they thought it would. So this gives Russell Wilson more time to operate. This gives him more time to get better. It gives him more time to fit in with the Denver Broncos. Like I said, it's just buying time. So that's why a reason why Nathaniel Hackett is not going to be fired this season. In fact, there's a really good article that you should go read as soon as you're done with this live stream, because over at milehighreport.com, there's a solid article done by Nick Birch, and also one by the one I really want to talk about. Nick did a great job, but also Jess Place. He goes ahead and talked about, he has an article titled "Why Firing Nathaniel Hackett is a Problem for the Denver Broncos." So when you solve one problem, then you have to deal with the biggest problem. That is one you should go check out as soon as you're done listening to this. Awesome article. Jess did a fantastic job with that one. But let's go ahead. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and link it to you guys here. In fact, so in the chat, so you guys can go ahead and just listen to this one. You don't have to go find it for yourselves. Let's make it a little bit easier for you guys. There you go.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But there's that, and that's why coaching is still the number one issue with this team. Offensively, that's why I just talked about with Russ and kind of Hackett in its own. But one of the biggest things here is that they still just constantly fail. One thing that we saw extremely obvious in this game is that they just consistently fail to make any sort of halftime adjustments or adjustments during any time of the game. I guess it kind of made adjustment here. One thing I was going to talk about is they were just getting freaking gashed on the ground. This happened against the Raiders last week. It happened again this week. The Panthers were using this really effective six offensive line set where they essentially had, you know, a 310-pound tight end be able to help block, and that's why they were just giving so many runs up the inside. But also even on the outside too is because their pass rushers and their defensive ends cannot set an edge to save their lives. So only pass rushers on the Broncos team this year that have been able to actually set edges and not just rush the passer, have been Randy Gregory, who's injured and probably still has another few weeks to look to come back, and Bradley Chubb, who of course is not a Bronco anymore. But you know, with the whole Bradley Chubb thing, I was glad for what they were trading with. I thought that whole situation was just fine. But this was good coaching by the Panthers to recognize Denver's inability to stop the run or to set the edge, and they just took advantage of flaws right there. And the Broncos did try to combat this. They did try to make an adjustment. So to their credit, they tried to make one adjustment in this where they did a lot of five down linemen sets to combat this six offensive line offense that the Panthers were using. But still, that wasn't enough. It didn't really do anything to affect the Panthers' run game in any way. And it was like, well, we tried that. Well, there's not really anything else we can do. We're just going to get beat on the ground every single time. And then also, DJ Moore was just dicing up the Broncos secondary in this one. It's unfortunate to see Patrick Surtain's been struggling the last couple weeks, and I'm not sure if this falls on him. It's just eventually it's going to happen when, as a defense, you have to just keep playing lights out performances every single week if you want even a remote chance to win a football game. But DJ Moore, he had 63% of all Panthers receiving yards. They did little to adjust to him. They did little to try to get some extra coverage on DJ Moore, and they're just getting just blown apart in the secondary. And then another thing that is just bad to see, especially when it comes to run defense, is that Justin Simmons, their safety, and I'm not taking anything away from Justin Simmons, he's one of the best run-stopping safeties in the league, or just safeties in general. But Justin Simmons finished the game with the most tackles, more than Alex Singleton and more than Josie Jewell, and that indicates how bad this run defense performed as well. That just goes to show that there was a lot of more of second and third level tackles. In fact, most tackles are going to be made around the second level, but this was most of the tackles being made around the third level, having to have your safety come down and make the play because your linebackers, or because your defensive line couldn't make a stop at the line of scrimmage, your linebackers were getting caught up in the defensive line's failure, so you had to have the safety come bail you out, and that's why the Panthers had such a good yards per carry average throughout this game. And then another coaching issue, I will blame this one on coaching, because Greg Dulcich, he's a guy that has been amazing ever since he stepped foot on the field for the Denver Broncos. He looks like a guy that's going to be just a really solid talent for the Broncos going out in the future. Another great pick by George Payton so far. he has another game of being underutilized. He caught just 2 passes in this game for 11 yards, and he was only targeted 3 times this game. Technically, he had another target and what would have been a touchdown catch late in the game, but it was called back due to a legal touch. He went out of bounds, and well, also it was just offsetting penalties as well, but legal touch is ultimately what took away that touchdown. Really would have only made his stat line look better anyway. It kind of doesn't really change the fact that he was still severely underutilized in this game. It was really only Courtland Sutton that saw targets or success in this game. He had 8 targets, 6 receptions for 75 yards with a long of 22. And another just bad stat to hear is that these 75 yards are the 4th most receiving yards in the game for Courtland Sutton this season. I believe he has 1 game over 100. He had like 1 game in the 80s and 1 game in the 90s. So, heck, you can even talk about that Courtland Sutton's being underutilized too. But Greg Dulcich, in the last few games that we've seen, he has breakout game, and then against the Chargers and when he first, made his presence known, essentially. But he's been getting maybe 5 targets a game. And the Broncos need to do a lot better than that, especially when your tight end room has been so bad the last number of years. You need to do your best to pull them up, especially when you're suffering so many injuries on the wide receiving front as well. So the Broncos just need to do a little bit better in that case. By a little bit better, I mean they need to do a lot better, because whatever they're doing is not working. Their offensive schemes are not working. You have an injured receiving core, and you're still not able to get the ball to Greg Dulcich. You're still not doing enough to design plays around him. I know he's a rookie. I know we're only just kind of seeing his potential, but he's the kind of guy where you can design plays around him, and it will be just fine. All right, that's absolutely something that the Denver Broncos should do. But like I said, we're gonna move past this game recap, and we're just going to we're going to try to find ways to be positive here, because that's one thing that I like to do on this one. I try to keep the positivity up, even when there isn't a whole lot to be able to sort through and find reasons to be positive. But I do have them. I do have them. So don't just ignore me here. I have reasons to stay positive. So reason number one, kind of talking about the whole receiving core stuff, is that so even the injuries to the receiving core, that's a bad, but a positive from that is that it's allowed for the rookies and for other receivers to develop. We've seen Kendall Hinton a pretty good amount. He's looked pretty solid this year. But Jalen Virgil, we saw a breakout game again with him a couple weeks ago against the Titans. He had the lone touchdown for the Denver Broncos. Is that long thing? Is like a 63 yard touchdown reception for Jalen Virgil. So he's been able to get more playing time. Montrell Washington's been able to get more playing time as a receiver too, getting a lot more experience than they would have with Judy, with Hamler, with Tim Patrick healthy. Now, of course, I'm not saying that I want those guys injured, but it's just a good thing to be able to build up the depth on essentially what is a throwaway season anyway. Broncos aren't going to be able to do anything, so you might as well get those rookies developed and see what you get from them, and try to get them as ready as possible for their sophomore year, when hopefully the Broncos are reloaded with a healthy quarterback, with a healthy team, with a new coaching staff, and with a better desire to win football games, essentially. And reason to be positive number two, there are still tons of excuses of why Russell Wilson's bad this year. We still have so much to blame. We don't have to just go say, hey, Russell Wilson's over. We wasted so much money on this guy. We wasted so much cap space on this guy. We wasted first-round picks on this guy. We don't have to say that yet, because the Broncos still have other reasons to blame. And it's not just everything falling on Russell Wilson's shoulders. Kind of what I talked about with that whole Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, why to keep him kind of stuff. And lastly, the Broncos have finally recorded a rush of 20 yards or more this season. Latavius Murray in this game put up a 52-yard run. So that's the first time this season that the Broncos have been able to have a rushing attempt for more than 20 yards. They've had a 19-yarder, but they've been the only team this season, at least until this last week, to not have a run for 20 or more yards. The Broncos don't have to worry about that anymore. They got that monkey off the back. Also, just another week where I'm able to talk about just how good and underrated Latavius Murray has been in this Broncos offense. He's been one of the consistent maybe not bright spots, but non-dark spots. He's been, we know what to expect from him. He's been the guy that's been grinding it out. He's a guy that could, I guess, at least in this time without Javonte Williams, be able to take over the workhorse kind of role and just be able to pound that rock for like 60% of the plays at least. We know what to expect from him. He's been plenty of touchdowns, and I've been pleasantly surprised that we were able to sign from a practice squad, and he's been putting up this kind of performance for the Broncos. That is good stuff. Thank you, Latavius Murray. I really appreciate what you have done this season. But we're kind of running out of time to see Nathaniel Hackett fired live. But I guess one thing I want to talk about, just while we still have a little bit of time, maybe just trying to buy time. If it hasn't happened yet this morning, I don't think it's going to happen at all. And I kind of think it's not going to happen all this season. But one thing I just want to talk about, my little mini rant before we cap things off here, is just that in regards to George Payton, this is mostly coming off of, I'm not sure if it's you guys necessarily watching this or listening to this that have this thought, but I've definitely seen a lot of the comments on the Instagram. So of course, I'm taking from Instagram, I'm taking from social media, take that with a massive pinch of salt. But a lot of people have been speaking out against George Payton for the last 4 weeks. They've been speaking about him for his job. They've been calling, essentially, they've been putting him in Payton, George Payton, in the same conversation as Nathaniel Hackett and his Russell Wilson. And they're calling for his job. They're calling for him to be fired. And I swear, that has to be one of the most fickle and kind of dumb things. Just being honest and giving my genuine thoughts on that one. I think that take is really stupid. We're totally forgetting that George Payton is just in his second year as a GM. In his first year that he took over, he had a phenomenal draft. A lot of people are now saying to take Justin Fields, that the Broncos messed up by taking Patrick Surtain over Justin Fields. But that is only a take that you could have in perfect hindsight, because especially what we saw last year, freaking Patrick Surtain was in conversations of an all-pro rookie year, a historically good rookie year, and Justin Fields had nothing going for him. He looked horrible. That Bears team looked horrible last year. So last year, that pick looked totally fine. But now this year, since Justin Fields is seeing some development, Patrick Surtain is still playing at top of the league kind of level, top five cornerback kind of level. But now Justin Fields has this stuff, and Russell Wilson isn't working out. The Broncos drafted Patrick Surtain. They're still trying to develop Drew Locke there as well, giving him one more season to try to perform. So the situation, totally different. So criticizing Payton for drafting Surtain over Justin Fields, that's a dumb take. And then also criticizing him, all these criticisms against Payton can only be made with hindsight. All right, they're criticizing him for bringing on Hackett, for bringing on Russell Wilson. Who could have known that Russell Wilson was going to see this much regression? And then who would have known that Nathaniel Hackett was going to be this inept? In fact, to be fair with that one, there was some writing on the wall. It was another taking a risk by bringing on a first-year head coach. There's always tons of risk with that, especially when the Broncos were like a more veteran and kind of coaches as well before eventually bringing on Hackett. In fact, there's a lot of talks that they maybe brought in Hackett because they had that thought that they were going to be able to bring in Aaron Rodgers, and they weren't even necessarily thinking about Russell Wilson and Hackett. They were thinking about Hackett and Aaron Rodgers. So there's an argument to be made there, which of course could be a big oversight and a big mistake by Payton. But even his track record of draft picks alone should be able to speak for themselves. We went from a John Elway era where he was a fantastic player for the Denver Broncos, one of the best quarterbacks to ever walk the field, one of the best arms talents we've ever seen. But when it comes to vice president or GM or any role that he had with the Broncos, when it came to making picks or hiring coaches, he was horrible. He just had an obsession with tall quarterbacks that never worked out. His drafting record is abysmal. So be able to bring in George Payton, who's already done so much more than what John Elway was able to accomplish in the span of two drafts, that is perfect reason why the Broncos should not even be thinking about firing George Payton. I just think it's a bad take. I don't understand it. I think it's a misguided kind of take right there. And so I think those are my reasons why we should rethink that. And we should be happy that we have George Payton at the helm, and that the Broncos are going to wash their hands of this Hackett mess next season, and they're going to be a lot better football team, and they're still going to see real success in the draft for years to come. I believe that. It's fact. It's not fact. It's my opinion. But I really, really think that's the case here. We need to chill on this whole Fire Hackett nonsense. Not chill on the Fire Hackett nonsense. Excuse me. Chill out on the Fire Payton nonsense. That there's definitely the Fire Hackett stuff is certainly anything but nonsense. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. This is pretty much going to wrap it for us here on this edition of Mile High Report Live. Thank you guys so much, whether you're tuning in live on Twitch, or if you're catching the recording on Twitch, if you're watching this on YouTube as well, or if you're listening to the podcast version of this later in the afternoon on Monday, or, I mean, let's be honest, any day. If you're listening to this in any way, at any time, for any reason, thank you. There we go. I feel like that was able to cover some more of the bases. But if you haven't done so yet, go ahead and follow us or subscribe to us on Twitch. Follow us on any podcasting platform you might be listening to this on. Go ahead and go on over to milehighreport.com. Catch tons of awesome articles daily to plug myself, I guess, since I have this time. Power rankings, my 32-team power rankings drop every Tuesday. And my overreactions from the Carolina Panthers game will be out on Wednesday. But like I said, I genuinely appreciate your support. You guys knocked last week's video out of the park in terms of views on Twitch. And so I just really, really appreciate that. But I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your Monday. I can't wait to be live on Black Monday after the season's over so we can actually see and talk about the news of Hackett being fired. And I just hope that you guys have an awesome week going into the Christmas season. Hope you guys just have an awesome time with families. Hopefully work goes easy and we're just able to have a nice rest of the year. We'll see you guys on any of my articles on Instagram, podcasts, or if anything, I'll just see you next Monday, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time.